right, what you think? Good stuff? Come on. Excited about things happening around here. Listen, in case some of you didn't realize why there was such a reaction to some of that announcement video, that was my wife's debut on the announcement video. So, and she will tell you, she's not one for getting up in front of people. So we did do it in front of a camera. That made it a little less intimidating. And for those of you that have perhaps had the opportunity to be our spokesperson for our announcement video, you know, how many takes does it take? Anyway, it was I was laying over here on the seat, you know, just about to fall asleep. Anyway, but it is challenging. It is tough. But she did a phenomenal job. So give it up for my wife, would you? All right. Okay. listen, I just want to say how much I'm thankful for you today and your faithfulness to God and to His church and to what God has called us to do. We're approaching Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is really probably my favorite season, or favorite holiday, if you want to call it that. It all happened, it goes back some years ago when first time I went off to college. And you know how it is in college. You're in a dorm. Okay, when I went to college, okay, I was living in Daytona Beach, Florida, and went to Troy University. Back then it was Troy State University, and it was in Troy, Alabama, and I didn't know a person there. I didn't have a car. I didn't have a phone. Don't laugh. Cell phones weren't even invented then, okay? And I was there, and I'm talking cafeteria food on a college campus, and my first break was Thanksgiving, and I went home, and I just thought it was amazing. I could go to the refrigerator and open that refrigerator, and there was everything that I wanted, you know? And they sat down this big meal with the turkey and the giblet gravy, and all. And ever since then, Thanksgiving has just been real special to me. And so, you know, some of you college students know what I'm talking about. You know, home, a place like home. And it just really felt and resonated with me on that Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving has been special ever since. But the Thanksgiving is more important than just turkey and dressing and giblet gravy and all the traditions that you share as a family. Thanksgiving goes far greater than that. And I'm going to touch on some things that we had to be thankful for today, but we're actually concluding our series that we've entitled Legacy, a four-part series. Today we're going to give you the last installment of that. It's going to be a little different. You can find some message notes there in your worship guide to follow along with us. We've got some fill in the blank. And don't get too hurried with that, because some of that we're going to kind of get to a little bit on into the message, because I want to take the first part of this message and just really share my heart and be a little bit transparent. I'm just asking for the Lord to help me because, you know, just want to open up and just share some things, some of these things that some of you already know, but I think it's a good time for us to just be reminded of, and so we're going to get into some of that. But we began this series really introducing the concept of legacy and understanding that there is a human need in all of us to make a difference. Even psychologists will tell you that they've discovered this. There's a Maslow hierarchy of human need that we looked at that really is really a discovery that what God already knew and we know in Him, and that is that the greatest fulfillment of our life is when we live a life of transcendence. We have these basic needs, but then we begin to progress up these different levels. And the greatest fulfillment that you'll ever have as a human being is to be a person where you feel like you're making a difference. Not just meeting my needs and surviving and barely getting through and punching a clock another day and going home, you know, get up, do the same thing again. But it is actually when you get to this place where you understand it's not just all about you, but it's when you realize that you're here for a purpose and you're here to make a difference and you live a life of transcendence. And so we talked about that and laid that foundation, that first message. I encourage you can go online to crosspointworshipcenter.com. You can get all of these messages. You can listen to them. You can even download the notes there and that are provided for you. We've even got the fill-in things there, what the answers are, and you can go to that catch up on that if you didn't get to hear that first message. That's an important one. And also, then the next week, we talked about how in order to live this kind of life, you've got to connect with a powerful God. That God wants us to do something more than beyond the mundane of what we can do, but His desire is that we can do, that God through us on this earth will be able, will enable Him as we yield ourselves to Him to do that which is exceedingly above what we could even begin to think or imagine. And so in order to do that, we've got to live this thing out in a realm of faith, that God wants to do something greater in us, that God wants to do amazing things through us. And so to do that, we must operate in the realm of faith. And that was just a great message that's inspiring as far as just building your faith and vision. And then last week, we got a little more theological with it regarding this fact that what we do here matters, and not only just for today, but also matters in terms of eternity, that there is a reward day coming. There's a judgment seat of Christ where He's going to reward us according to our works. We're not saved by works. We're saved only through the work of Jesus Christ. But having received that grace of God, it is played out through the things that we do on this earth, and God just wants to pass out some things. So there's the way that we live our life, we need to understand that we are actually laying up treasures in heaven. And so today, though, I want us to see how this is realized for us in the reality of today. And I want us to see that what we are doing here as a church makes a difference. It makes a difference for here in our areas of points of passion, as we call them, and that we as a church want to make a difference where we are. We want to make a difference in our community, in our city, in our state. We want to make a difference in our country. We want to make a difference in our world. And so what we do here does matter. In fact, this is what I've been repeating each week, and that is that Jesus Christ is building His church. And I've sensed in my spirit that I've been in several scenarios just recently where, you know, it may be a tough situation or whatever, or it's happening in conversations with people. And I hear God just kind of speaking to me and reminding me of His scripture that says that Jesus is going to build His church and that He is building His church. And I want to encourage us today to know that Jesus is building His church. And so I want to take just a moment right up front to thank God for the fact that He is building His church, and to thank God for what He has done for us. You know, you have a story, I have a story, we all have a story, but collectively as a church, we have a story, and some of you have come in at different parts of that story as a church, but I'd just like to take a moment briefly just to reflect on that. You know, the beginning of this church started with a burden in my heart and then a vision, and I believe that's the way that really theologically should proceed. If you look at the book of Habakkuk, I won't get all of that. You can study that for yourself, but burden precedes vision. If you want to know if a vision is really true, sometimes I got a vision for this, a vision for that. But if you really don't know if it's from God, it'll have a burden at the base of that. There's a need. There's an urging in your heart. There's something there that God is compelling us to do. And then He gives us a vision of how to play that, to live that out. And I remember I was actually, at this time, I was now at Florida State University in Tallahassee, and I was praying and seeking God for His will for my life. And in fact, I was a music education major. I fell in love with music at an early age in high school, did the band, the marching band, drum major, all that kind of stuff. I love telling that part. My kids laugh at me when I talk about my drum major days. Those are my glory days. But I fell in love with music, and yet at the age of 16, I knew I was called to be a minister of the gospel. And so I was trying to negotiate this thing, you know, as to, okay, what about music, God? What about maybe I just go into music, not pastoring? But I knew what God had called me to do. So I was at Tallahassee studying music education, still trying to work that out. And while there, God laid a vision on my heart for coming to Charlotte and establishing a new church. In fact, I could see this spot where we are today. And so I was there and trying to understand what all this meant. In the meantime, God, by His grace and sovereign mercy, put a wonderful person, an angel, came into my life at this point. And y'all are looking at me like real mystical. That angel was named Kim, my wife, okay? And we began to date. Long distance. My dad worked for Eastern Airlines, and I would fly home every other weekend. That's an old airline that's no longer around today, but there was an airline called Eastern Airlines, and I would fly home every other weekend. And my dad finally knew, he knew I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, and he knew I was heavenly overhead over heels in love with Kim. And he told me one time, he said, "Look, if you don't come home and marry this girl, I'm going to adopt her, and you can't. Then she'll be your sister." And so God works in mysterious ways. And so I then came home and we dated for another year. I like to tell this part. We went on our first date May 3rd, 84, got engaged May 3rd, 85, got married May 3rd, 86. If I ever forget May 3rd, I'm in trouble. You know, and all you ladies say, yep. But shortly thereafter, what I had envisioned and what God had really laid in my heart began to come to fruition. We began a Bible study in our home in our apartment. A year later, we went on to the campus of UNC Charlotte in the Denny building, upstairs in the Denny building, and began to meet there and have conduct services. Sometime after that, we actually became organized as a church in the Cone Center right across the street. And we were praying about how this is all going to work out, and this property became available. And so we came into this, we came across the street and we began to investigate it. Now, we were a very, very small handful of people. Actually, we chartered with 13 people. And it was a big challenge, you know, to come across the street and try to invest in something that was way bigger than we were. But God worked it out. And a lot of details there I could go more into, and I won't take too much time with that. But I'm going to just say we took a little house and we tried our best to make it look like a church as much as possible, a little house. And I just wanted to give thanks to God for his faithfulness. Excuse me for getting emotional, but there's one thing that's real hard to do, and that's to start a new church, to plant a new church. God was so faithful because we went into this church and there were some people that came with us. And over the years, we actually ministered to hundreds of people through this little house sitting right beside this building. We ministered to hundreds of people. And God was faithful. And we saw lives blessed and lives changed. And so, you know, it was just like we were kind of incubated there. But yet we were doing our work for God. And at some point, though, we began to feel like, you know, there's got to be more. We've got to be able to do more. And so I just want to, first of all, pause right there in that story and say there were some people that were very, very faithful to us. Faithful to God, but faithful to his church. And I just want to thank God because of those people, we have a church today. And I appreciate the people that knew how to pray, knew how to give, knew how to serve. And the reason we're sitting here today is because of their faithfulness, that truly loved God and was very faithful to what God had called us to do. And so, you know, among some of those people are Femi and Marie, been faithful over the years. I called him today, he had a birthday this week, and I said, I just want to tell you how thankful I am for you guys and how faithful that y'all have been to our church. And Randy and Paulette, who have been with us through a lot of this journey and saw the process of us getting into this building, which is another whole story in and of itself, and so I won't take a lot of time going through all that. But we did have a day where we said, God, we got to break out of this shoebox we're in. And so we actually did a concert outside here. We called it October Jam. And we had a music concert. We had two big flatbed trucks sitting about right about here. And we had tiki torches up and we knocked trees down. I mean, we spent some money. We had the Chick-fil-A cow. Y'all know that's spiritual, right? And we had him walking up and down the sidewalk and we were handing out Chick-fil-A and it wasn't free to us, but we offered it free. Just did ministry. We had a fraternity parking cars for us. We had Gideon's handing out Bibles. It was awesome. We had about 300 students that we tapped into. And we were so excited. We went back into that little house and we said, well, that was awesome. But here we are back in our four walls again. What can we build that we can bust out of this thing? What can we build to open our arms more to this community? And so God enabled us to get into this building. And again, I'm leaving a lot of details out. I have to for the sake of time. But here's the deal. As we came into this building, I had one night, I had an all-night prayer meeting here, and I was praying. And during the night, God spoke to me. You know, God still speaks to people, right? And he speaks and presses in our heart and tells us things. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So that's not weird. God speaks to us. And I heard the Lord say, I'm going to give you a new church. Well, I didn't know exactly what that meant. I didn't feel like he was moving me from here. But he began to speak to me, I'm giving you a new church. And so what happened in the days following and a few years following was there were certain people that God began to move out and then God began to move other people in. Now, I'm so thankful for those people that was with us all those years. But here's the thing. God began to give us a new vision for what God had called us to do as a church. And so two things are very difficult. One is to plant a new church. A second is to take a church that's established church and turn it and send it and direct it into a different direction than what it's going. Now, I'm not saying the other direction was wrong. It was for that season. But God began to speak to me as a pastor about a new vision. And so God began to say, I'm going to send you some new people with a new vision to go a different direction to do what I've called you to do. I feel like God has positioned us strategically here for such a time as this. And while it may look like at times, because and during that transition process, which is where we have been recently, it gets to sort of check your faith a little bit. Come on. Like Gideon saying, okay, I got a bunch of people. God, I'm going to go out and destroy this army. And God says, I'm going to reduce you down from thousands to 300. Now go do what I call you to do that I can get all the glory. Well, God begins to transition things and change things, but he's doing something new. And I'm so excited today because I look around where we are today and what I hear God continuing to speak to me is I am building my church. And so I'm very excited about where God has placed us. And so with that new vision, right at the heels, right at the same time that God had really began to give me some new vision, and it's not a different vision from Scripture, don't misunderstand. There's just different ways we do things at different seasons and different times. And God began to speak to me, and I began to even put some resources in my life to help me understand. You know, I knew what, but I didn't quite know how. You know what I'm saying? And so God began to help me and put some resources in my life with how that's going to be actualized for our church. At the same time that that happened, I had a couple that just called up one of our members out of the blue and said, hey, I'd just like to check your church out. And that couple was Steve and Dawn Guptill who came. And I knew that I in order to do what I felt like God had put in my heart and give me vision to do, I felt like we needed some help with our music, okay? So I heard that this guy could play a mean guitar. This is the guy that's standing up here this morning, all right? Mean guitar, nice guitar, however way you want to look at it. Okay, the guy can play a guitar, all right? And so I met with this guy at Panera Bread, right, Steve? And so we had a little conversation. I thought we were going to talk about music. No, it wasn't about music. It was about discipleship. Found out this guy who had come to know the Lord, who didn't even believe in God, had come to know Christ, and because of his conversion experience, he decided he was going to make up for lost time, went back, got his master's in Christian education with an emphasis on small groups, which was another part of the vision. And I'm thinking, wow. You know, it's exciting when you see God put things together in his way. And what you got an idea of, he says, no, that's not it. This is it. And so started talking to Pastor Steve, and one thing led to another. Steve is now our small group's pastor. Also met with Steve and Dawn, and then Dawn, I said, Dawn, what has God called you to do? And she began to talk about her burden and her passion for prayer, which I'm telling you, in the days before you guys walked in the door, there was just this increase and intensification of prayer, and it's like God said, I'm going to just supercharge that. I'm going to give you somebody that I've called in that area of ministry. And Dawn has served faithfully in our prayer ministry, and now she's greeting at the door and doing an amazing job. Just so thankful. But what I'm saying is God is putting his church together. God is building his church. On the heels of Dawn and Steve coming, there was another couple that visited the church out of the blue. Isn't that crazy? Out of the blue, right? Y'all might know who I'm talking about, and that's Dwayne and Karen Stone. And I met with them at Cheddar's. Y'all just got to know where to take these people. You got to take them to the right places, all right? And we're standing in the parking lot, and I'm talking to Dwayne and Karen, and I'm telling him about this guy that can play a mean guitar. And I actually pulled up a video off of that Steve had posted online. I said, check this out. Wait till you get to this part. Listen to this. You know, I'm trying to just talk to the musician in this guy because I've known Dwayne for a long time. Got the opportunity years ago to marry this couple. And they came in and I said, look, I just want to share with you what I feel like God's given us. And I don't know if you were supposed to be a part of it or what, but I just want to share with you the vision. I want you to pray about it and see if this is where God has placed you. Sure enough, now Dwayne and Karen are coming and serving, and Dwayne's doing a phenomenal job pastoring our worship team. And I'm telling you, this guy is just doing a great, because he's not just singing, he's pastoring this group, as Steve is and on are pastoring people as well in the church. And Karen then now is serving as our dream team coordinator. And I understand, if I'm correct, she was kind of like my wife, didn't like to be up in front of people. She stood up here and brought a message to people. So you never know what God's placed inside of you and what he's going to do in you and how he's going to use you. And just doing a phenomenal job. Can y'all just take a moment just to appreciate these that are coming and serving? Now, as I thought about this, I thought, now I need to be real careful with this, because I could go around this room and I could name everybody, you know, and I can't name everybody. I mean, I could, but it'll take some time, all right? But then as I look around and I just envision where we're going and what we're doing, and I know that God just wants to do a new thing, God then has sent us another person. I do want to take a moment also to highlight one more, and that is that Taylor Moden has come to our church. Taylor, wave at everybody over there. There's Taylor. And this has just kind of happened behind the scenes, and we haven't really made a public announcement about this, but Taylor is now our new children's coordinator and doing a phenomenal job. And Dana and Jeremy has walked in the door, and they're serving. Dana is the associate children's coordinator, and Jeremy is serving in her hospitality and serving with coffee and greeting, and got the best attitude in the whole world. You need a good attitude to rub off you see Jeremy. Just amazing job what they're doing and what they're bringing to the table. Randy Sowers is here, and she is our creative arts director of our children's ministry. Come on, guys. Did y'all know all this was happening? You need to check out our website sometime, you know, if you want to get some updates of what's happening. So excited about what God is doing. And I know I've taken a little bit of time here, but I wanted to just share this with you. And here's a part that I want to make sure you hear. In the book of Acts, when the church first started, it said that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I've heard that all my life, and I thought, wouldn't it be amazing that 365 days out of the year somebody's coming to Christ? We should have at least 365 people come to Christ in a given year. And then I heard of a church who in every service people come to Christ. And it's been that way for, 12, 13, 14 years since the beginning of the church. And they said there has never, ever been a service where people do not come to Christ. And my heart, I'm like, yes, God, thank you for that. And to God be all the glory. But I have a heart that says, God, would you allow our story to be? We know what the story has been and where we are, but would you allow our story to be, and I just want you to catch the vision of this, to be a story where people come into this church and in every service, they come to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. That there's not a service that passes that somebody doesn't accept Jesus. I don't know if you can get excited about that, but to me, that's what this thing is all about. And so it's my heart that, and I just want you to dream with me for just a moment. And don't panic. We're going to get into your notes, and we're going to end on time. But listen to this. I want us to see a church that, from the parking lot all the way through, God is just doing amazing things. In fact, I pray that our parking lot, envision this with me, would be so packed that, you know, I mean, you're going to have guys out there really making sure nobody misses a space. We're going to have multiple services. And people are going to have to get here early to get a seat, and they're going to be running to get here, and one group's going to be saying, let me out so you can get in, you know. And y'all, I'm just saying. And I want to see a church that is so on fire for Jesus, and the worship is phenomenal, and people are coming here, and they're encountering the presence of God. We're not here to impress anybody, but we're here to try to influence and lead people into the presence of God, where he alone can make a difference and change their life forever. And so I just see these things. I see that the four things that God has given us in this vision of what to do, that on a Sunday, everything we do, and we're going to talk about a lot of different things, but the main thing that we're trying to do on a Sunday morning service is to introduce people into a real, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. Second thing that we do is we want people to be get into a small group where they can grow. So we want people to know God, but we want people to find freedom, and that's where that happens in the context context of a small group. I want to see our small groups grow so big that we got more people in small groups than we do on a Sunday morning. Come on, everybody. I mean, and that's why what the third thing that we do, we want people to understand their purpose, having that they know God, that they find freedom, but then that they discover their purpose, right? Why in the world am I here? And so we have this thing called the growth track that you heard about today, that we could take them through that they can discover, and we'll take them through a process. It's awesome that you'll go through. It only takes 4 weeks to go through it, 4 Sundays. I encourage you, you can jump on it today even on Dream Team 401, and we'll take you through that and help you discover what God's called you to do. And then the fourth thing is serve on a dream team and live it out, making a difference in somebody else's life. And that's where everything changes, where you live this life of transcendence and you're making a difference in the life of others. Let me just add this to this, and that is my prayer, my vision is that we will take that first church that we started from, that little house, and it becomes a ministry center in our community. I would love to be able to have that ministry center where we have it packed with children, where we're doing things in a way where their life can be changed, that it's going to be speaking kind of on their level and making a difference in their life, seeing that happen. And that's another thing I want to talk more about. But I want to see that not only in children's ministry, but I believe during the week we could use that for coffee house. I've already had some people in the community that in this church has kind of become a hub for activity, for meetings and stuff for our community here, where they said, man, I'd love to be a part, come to a coffee house and sit out here. And listen, I just want to build a place where people can come and have a relationship with one another and discover there's a greater relationship that they can have with a living God. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome to use that also for a facility to do a coffee house, to affect students across the street, be an activity center where they can come? Come on, give them free Wi-Fi. Let them come in here and just hang out, and come on, just build relationships and know Jesus. Are y'all seeing this, right? And so I know this is a little bit different, but here's the thing. The reason all this is important, this matters, is that there are people around us in need. There's some homeless people we need to reach. There's some hurting people that we need to reach. There's some students that have issues that we need to help. There are people in prisons around us, and I want us to be a church that makes a difference. In order to do that, though, there's always a sacrifice, and there's always a cost to see these things happen. That was proven 2,000 years ago. God proved that to us 2,000 years ago when Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice and give his life for us. And so there's always a cost with that. And so I want us to be a church that has faith for greater things and a passion that will pray and that will give and that will serve. And so we all need one another, and we work together to see that happen. Let me give you a few scriptures here. And so let's just get into the message notes for just briefly as we just kind of pull all this together. Psalm 65:11 says, "You crown the earth with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance." It's God that is building his church, and it is God that gives the increase. But we got to understand why we're here. We're not here just filling space. One person was asked one time what you're doing, and he said, "Well, I'm laying brick." They asked another guy, I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm building a wall." And another person said, "I'm building a cathedral." All right? And so we got to understand we're all doing different jobs, but we all need one another, right? We all need one another. And so we're working together, but as we do that, God's going to give us a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways will overflow with abundance. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world, a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden." And so that's what our church is to be. We're not just filling up time and space. We have a mission and a cause for which we're here for. 1 Corinthians 3 says this, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field." Look at this. "God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." So God is building this building, and I've described this as his building is his family. He's building a forever family. And Jesus Christ is the foundation on which this house stands. But then each one of us are living stones that God brings together as he builds his house. Look at Ephesians 2. And this is in the message, and it words it this way. God is building a home. He's using us all. Irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. And it says this, "He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. How he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. And so one more verse, let me give you, before I just kind of start breaking this down, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Folks, this is a spiritual house. So what we're doing here is spiritual. The guys in the parking lot, it's spiritual. Everyone's serving all the way through. It's spiritual what we're doing. To be a holy priesthood. So guys in the parking lot, you're being a priest in the parking lot. People in the nursery that you're taking and you're ministering to those, you're a priest there. Those that are ministering to young children and praying with them about their needs are priests there. God's called us to be priests. Look at this. Offering spiritual sacrifice. How does that happen? Offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so in order for us to be what God's called us to be, there's going to be some sacrifices that we have to make. And so here's what I'm doing today. I'm calling us to a life of intentionality, And so we want to offer to God those things that are, according to Scripture, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, okay? And so to do that, I want to look at some different levels, and I want to challenge you, and I hope you receive this. And here's the thing. All of us are on different levels. Right? Some of us, you know, are giving, are just all in and are serving and doing our part. And there's others that are coming and checking things out and not even knowing if there is a God. And let's just check this out. There's others that, you know, there's just different levels of our commitment or our levels of where God has us. And that's okay. That's okay. So I want to just kind of give you some challenges on some different levels. And number one is this. And that is, do what I should do. In other words, this would be the starting point. So wherever you are, where has God placed you? And let's start right there. Let's start right there as a starting point. In other words, where God has placed you, at the very first level, do what God, you know, God has already called you to do. Do what I should do. There's some things we say, well, I don't know what to do. There's some things we already know what we should be doing, okay? There's some things that are practical, that are not black and white, or not gray, or, you know what I'm saying? They're just very clear, all right? So I'm trying to rush here, just bear with me. All right, so look at this, and that is, you know, where are you now? Like, for instance, your kids come to you, and they say, Dad, I want some money for a movie, okay? All right, Dad, will you loan me some bucks? I'm going out for my friends to see a movie. Can you spot me, you know? Well, as a father, if my kid has made up his bed and cleaned up his room, I'm a lot easier of giving him some money that he can go do that thing, right? Now, if he hadn't even cleaned up his room or made up his bed, I'd be saying, okay, first, let's make up your bed and clean up your room like I asked you to, and then we'll talk about that, right? Right? So where are you in your relationship with the Lord? Are you doing what you already know to do? God, help me with my finances. This is just practical, guys, okay? Help me with my finances. I'm having trouble here, all right? Do what you already know you should do. We know as Christians, we should tithe, right? We should give to the Lord to honor Him. Well, if everything's a mess in my life, well, let's start where we know what we should be doing. Start where you can. Start where you are. And so the word here associated with this point in this challenge is faithfulness. It's faithfulness. Are you being faithful where you are? Are you being faithful where you are? Luke chapter 16 says this, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches, right? Does that make sense? Next level, next challenge is this. Do what I could do. All right, do what you should do. Secondly, do what I could do. And so that means that in order for us to offer up sacrifices to God, that God can use us to make a difference in this world, there's going to be some things that are going to be sacrificial, that they're just going to cost us something. And here's the thing. We're talking about legacy. You can't leave a legacy without it costing you something, without it costing you something. So what could you do that would make a difference, but it may be a sacrifice. It's not convenient. It may hurt a little bit, but what can I do? Let me give you something very practical. In fact, I've already given it to you. It's there in your worship guide. And they have these little things put in your worship guide today called acts of kindness card. It's an act of kindness card that you could take. Now, we've put one in there. Now, I hope that you'll get more than one. There's extras back here on the in the connection center after church that you can pick up some extras. And then what you do with these is you take these and you, when you go out to eat today, you do what you should do, but what you could do. In other words, it may hurt a little bit. And you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, you know what? We spend on ourselves. What if we invest in somebody else? What if we give that waitress that's having a hard day and wondering if God loves her a honking tip? Y'all, right? And we make a difference in her life. What should we do? So this is very practical. What should we do? And the word associated with this is the word sacrifice. Sacrifice. 2 Corinthians says this, as they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service. Now, this is people in the church that day. And the pastor, so the pastor urging people to do more, the people are coming to the pastor saying, is there more we can do? That's a great church, the pastor, right? I believe we're that kind of church. Is there something more that I can do? Is there something more that I can give? I had a call yesterday from somebody saying, Pastor, I'm up here at the church. I'm fixing some lights out here. Pastor, me and Randy was out here mowing the grass today. And I said, I just want to thank you. It means more than you could ever imagine. Pastor, is there anything else that we can do? So there's a sacrifice there. Sacrifice. And I said this last week. I'm going to say it again. I appreciate the sacrifice of our military that gives us the freedom in our country today. Come on, somebody thank again our military. What a great example of sacrifice is saying, I'm willing to sacrifice because we know that freedom isn't free. It costs us something. So I'm thankful. Thankful for that. I'm thankful for actually the military that came out here and served our church wanting to make a difference and took down all of our trees. We're going to plant up new trees, giving us more visibility. We had one student come from across the street over here from UNC Charlotte who said, you know, I've been here attending for several years. I didn't even know there was a church over there. I'm thinking, well, thank God our military, Cody works for our recruiting department in the Army, and he brought a whole team with them. Man, it was awesome. We had an army out here. So we said, what's going on at that church? Come on, they were taking out trees. They were painting this church. They were making a difference. Come on, everybody. There was a sacrifice, though, given in order for that to happen. And so there's going to be a sacrifice. So as a church, there's sacrifice. There's a small number of people that made a sacrifice years ago to go out and do something difficult, which was to plant a new church. And God's called us to make a sacrifice. And as we do that, though, we may be a small number. We may be a small seed. But when God is in it, it's going to bring forth a great harvest, and it's going to produce more. We are living stones, and we're building up God's family together. Amen, everybody? And what we do matters. Let me give you another challenge, and that is this. Number three, do what I would do. And we'll put another word on top of that, in addition to that, and that's the word if. Do what I would do if. God, if you would ever entrust me with this, I will do this. It was a prayer of Jabez who said, God, if you'll bless me, just bless me indeed so that I can be a blessing, so that I can make a difference in those around me. So, God, if you'll help us, if you'll give us a provision, if you'll give us people, if you'll give us God, we'll be responsible with that, and we'll do what you call us to do. We'll stay on target. We'll stay on task of the great commission of bringing people to Jesus Christ and seeing the lost come home, right? So what I'm praying for in this is that we will... We'll be a people that has dreams. And whatever age you're at, you can have a part in this. The Bible says that young men will dream, will see visions, and old men shall dream dreams. So whatever that looks like, whatever category that is for you, know this, that we need to be dreaming at any stage of our life or having vision for what God's called us to. We need to have a vision for our church being able to have a prison ministry, that our church has a difference in helping women that are being abused and used in sex trafficking and all this abuse, that our church will be used in helping girls across the street who are finding themselves in trouble and pregnant and don't know what to do. He said, does that happen? Oh, yeah, I had a couple in my office a few years ago, right over here. We're pregnant. What are we going to do? And I want to tell you, God has placed us strategically here across the street from 100 countries represented, right across the street from us. God, help us to make a difference and do what God's called us to do. There's a world in trouble, and we need to make a difference. In order to do that, though, we need to be a people of faith. Before I give you that, let me give you this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, now he who supplies seed to the sower, now he's going to invest in those that are sowing, that are doing, that are sacrificing, those that are serving. And bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Then, he says, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And this corrects that abusive theology, you know, just get rich thing, you know, where prosperity theology that's been around. Here's the thing. Yes, God wants you rich, but here's the reason why, okay? He doesn't just want it for your own profit, your own gain, but God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. You made me rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And so, in fact, there's a scripture, if you look at it, there's a scripture in the New Testament that says, to him who is doing, he's going to be given more, and to the one that's not doing, it's going to be taken away. That's scripture, right? I'm just paraphrasing it. So we're praying, God bless us and help us to be faithful with what you've given us. So the word here, the key word for this point and this challenge is faith. Is faith. And what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for. Do you have any hopes? What could 2016 look like? I know we're not in our New Year's service yet, but what does the future, what does the next 15 years look like? Psalm 112 says this, they share freely and give generously to those in need. That should be our story, and that is our story, and will continue to be and increasingly be our story. And they will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. That means that they'll leave a legacy. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says this, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Would you bow your heads with me? It may be for some of us here today that you find yourself listening to this message and saying, wow, didn't know I was going to get all that today and that big, long story and history of the church. And what does that mean for me and what's that all about? For some of you, it starts here, and that is for many, it may be that you're far from God. You're not where you need to be in your relationship with Him. And life is really about two things. If you don't know Jesus, it's about one thing, and that's to find Him. The most important quest is to find God. And today we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. If you know God, it's about one thing, and that's making a difference. And not just anything makes a difference. It's the eternal things that matter. It's what we do in terms of eternity making a difference. That's what it's all about. And so, for some, though, we need to settle that first thing, and that is we need to draw close to God, or we need to be in a relationship. It may be that you have never been in a relationship with God, or you have been, but you know it's not where it needs to be. And so I want to lead you in a prayer if that's you today. And you say, that's me. I need a relationship with God. And by the way, it's not just about a belief system. Some people think Christianity is just about a belief system. It's not just about believing, but it's about giving God control of your life. It's not just a belief system, it's about a relationship. And God has been communicating through the service His great love for us. He has a great love for His church, but I'm telling you, church, He has a great love for the lost. He wants to use us to reach them. But today, if that's you, it's you He's reaching out to. And He wants you to experience His love. But it happens by surrendering control of your life to Him. It's an easy prayer to pray, but it will cost you everything. because it's saying, you are now Lord. It's not my agenda, it's your agenda. It's not my way, it's your way. If that's you, I want to pray with you. And I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you, but just right where you're seated while heads are bowed, if that's you, I'd like to know who I'm praying with. If you would just slip up your hand very quickly, just say, that's me, Pastor. Would you pray for me? Would you include me in that prayer when you pray? God bless you today. So proud of you. God bless you today. Hands are going up. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, count me in. Right where you're seated, let me just lead you in a simple prayer. Just pray there from your heart to the Lord, between you and God. There's a way we do this publicly, and that's, we could talk to you about that. But right now, this is a personal moment between you and God. And I just want to lead you in this prayer. Just simply pray this. Just say, Lord Jesus, today, save me. Forgive me. Come live inside of me. I give you the control of my life. Forgive me for going my way. Forgive me for my failures and for my sins. But thank you that you paid for my sins on the cross so I wouldn't have to. Today I accept what you did for me. By faith, I turn from my way and I turn to you. And by faith, I accept your forgiveness. Come live inside of me. Make me brand new. And with all of my heart, I will serve you as you help me. In Jesus' name.